Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It is FPC Radio Live. It is Friday, end of the week. Pretty excited for that. We got more NBA playoff action coming up tonight. Celtics are looking to take a 2-1 series lead. That's what John and I are hoping for. At least I know that. Anything to make up for the Lakers' 27-point loss last night, John? How do you explain that? Because, you know, we were pretty encouraged after game one, or you were. I mean, I'm not rooting for the Lakers, but I know you are obviously rooting for LeBron. How do you explain that kind of turnaround and disappointing game two from the team out in L.A.?
This is the way the NBA playoffs work. You know, you get a close win in game one, especially on the road. Now you've stolen home court advantage. And it's a bonus if you go out and win game two because you really take control of the series and you lay an egg. And Golden State, we know they're incredibly accomplished team. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, who had a huge night last night, hit 8 3-pointers on his way to 30 points. And next thing you know, the game just gets out of control. And at that point, if you're down 18, 20 points, late third, early fourth, whatever, your best bet is to just pull back and get LeBron and Anthony Davis some extra rest, because now game three, which is huge, is going to take place Saturday night. So this is how it works in the NBA. I've called it the zigzag theory, where, okay, Team A wins game one, well, Team B is going to win game two. And we saw that with the Celtics and 76ers. We saw it with the Knicks and Heat. We didn't see that with Denver and Phoenix because Phoenix is all banged up. But this is just the way the NBA works. So, you know, as Danny Ainge often says, and I seem to quote him every day, that this is not the Tour de France. So it's 1-1, and the Lakers do have home court advantage, but, you know, they're going to have to take control of that when they meet on Saturday night at Crypto.com Arena.
I hate that, by the way. Like, come on. Like, again, I'm by no means any sort of Lakers fan, but, like, come on. Staples Arena, Crypto.com/whatever. Don't they still have an FTX arena somewhere?
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, well, who's paying these bills?
Yeah, I'd like to know, too, because, like, look, if I can skirt by not paying billions of dollars of bills, you know, I feel like I've been doing life a little bit wrong here.
Cash those checks if you own those arenas.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, obviously, like I said, you're the resident LeBron honk. So, you know, I usually defer to you when it comes to asking these questions. And quite frankly, I need to know, like, how do the Lakers rebound from this? Because, like, we talk about it. It's like, well, if Anthony Davis plays like he did in game one, well, he didn't play like he did in game one. And guess what? They lost by 27 points. So is it as simple as just him being a superstar player? Because we know LeBron's going to be LeBron, and, you know, it is what it is. I think the role players are the role players, but is it really just about Anthony Davis being Anthony Davis?
Yeah, I think especially when he's engaged defensively, which he was last night. He just couldn't get going offensively. Now, Kevon Looney wasn't in the starting lineup for Golden State because he was ill, so they went a little bit smaller, spread out the Lakers. The Lakers are a big physical defensive team. Golden State, we know, can really stretch the floor, so that seemed to work. The Lakers had a 7-point lead after one quarter, and from that point forward, with all Warriors, and the Warriors can do that because they can play both ends of the floor really effectively. But, yeah, like I said yesterday, as long as Anthony Davis gives them four tremendous games, and he's given them one tremendous game in game one and one kind of dud in game two, then I think they can still win this series. He is inconsistent. We know that. When he's at his peak, he's as good as any player in the league. But teams bounce back from this type of thing. You know, do I expect the Lakers to win this series? I still do. I think because Davis is a tough matchup for Golden State, LeBron looked really good last night. He was on fire, shooting the ball well. Mm-hmm. But then once it gets out of hand, what's the point of leaving him out there to try to snap pad? There's no need for that. So I think they'll be just fine bouncing back. And this will be a long series because you got two teams, a lot of experience, but they do have flaws. And that generally means you're looking at a 6 or 7-game series.
Yeah, because, again, consistency is an issue for both of these teams. So, I mean, it's the reason why they're the 6th and 7th seed. I mean, it's not a coincidence. It's not, you know, just bad luck that that's where they ended up. They ended up there because, well, that's what the 82 games prior to all this dictated was, well, they're a 6th and 7th seed.
Consistency is also a problem for what we both think is the best team in basketball, the Celtics.
Yo.
I mean, they have these games, too, where they're like, how did they lose that one? And then they come back the next game and they look like the greatest team ever.
Well, but that's, I'll say this though, they are very consistent at doing that, at least in terms of
true,
you know, playing, you know, showing us that, hey, they're the best team in the NBA, and they're going for obviously game three tonight. But then it's like clockwork. Oh, here, start of the third quarter. They're going to go quiet. Or it's like they start missing some threes and you know it's not going to end there. So it's like, in a way, John, they are pretty consistent in that sense. But no, mm-hmm. To your bigger point, obviously, none of these teams, you know, go wire to wire. And it's not just that they don't go wire to wire, because you don't expect any team to do that, even the best of the best. But it's sometimes all these teams in, during certain quarters, they just don't look anything like the team that we recognize. And I think that's the biggest thing, where it's like, yeah, you know, this Philadelphia Boston series is going to go a game or two longer than it should. Well, possibly, because the Celtics kind of just decided to stop playing at the end of game one and blew a 12-point lead or whatever it was late in the game. So consistency is obviously an issue for everyone, but you know, like you said, in a series like this Warriors Lakers one, you got to figure that it's ultimately going to go six or seven, because, well, they're almost so conveniently inconsistent that it's going to lead to, well, some back and forth basketball. Probably, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a couple more blowouts, so to speak. You know, 20-point wins, 25-point mm-hmm. wins, kind of like what we saw last night.
This has been an issue with the NBA forever. I mean, I remember covering the mid-80s finals with the Celtics and Lakers, and like in 1987, the first two games were in L.A. The Lakers blew out the Celtics. Then in game three, the Celtics came back to the old Boston Garden, blew out the Lakers. Game four was the junior hook shot by Magic Johnson, which took control of that series. Then the Celtics blew out the Lakers in game five, and then it was a comfortable win in game six. There was really one close game in six games, and I remember last year in the finals, like, talking to younger folks saying, why are there so many blowouts? That's just the way it works in basketball. Just sometimes a team is having a great shooting night, the other team isn't. And again, you know you're playing in 2 days, so are you going to make this kind of miraculous comeback that falls short? Or do you just give the superstars some extra time on the bench? Now, we've seen big comebacks in the finals. Remember the 08 finals when the Lakers, the Celtics were down like 25 points in game four. It looked like that series was going to get evened up, and they came back and won, and then ended up winning game six.
Game six was a blowout. Yeah. That game was over. That game was over halfway through the second quarter.
Yeah.
One
of many games Kobe Bryant had bailed out of. And again, not to put back against Kobe, but everyone talks about Kobe and Jordan would never give up, and they were fighters and blah, blah, blah. Well, I did see Kobe Bryant that game give up. I saw him give up in game seven against Phoenix a few years earlier. I mean, every great player has had off games. It's just the way it works. Apparently, everybody except for Michael Jordan, who, you know, again, hasn't played for 20 years and apparently never missed a shot or a playoff game.
And here's the thing, though, and it's like this is what's crazy about it, because we're talking about, you know, the Warriors and how great they've been, and obviously the LeBron-led teams. That Bulls team won six championships in 8 years. Like, if anyone did that now, you know what I mean? Like, the Warriors aren't even close to doing that, you know? Like, and they've had
4-8. Yeah, they've had 4-8.
And relative to 6-8, that's not close. You know what I mean? No. Like, so that's why I think there is obviously always going to be this reverence, obviously, for Michael Jordan. I think there's always going to be that kid. Because, you know, again, how many... Certainly in the modern era of basketball, I'm not going to go back to Celtics era where, you know, there was minimal number of teams and obviously the chance that you were going to compete in a, you know what I mean, was higher because, again, you know, fewer teams, that happens. You know, in sort of the modern era of basketball, no one's come close to doing that. And we've had some great teams during had some great runs over the last 30 years or so, and it just nothing has come close to what the Bulls have done. So I think obviously that's why the whole we've kind of spurred off into a Jordan conversation, which I'm not going to keep going, but you know, I just want to say, like, that's why
the Lakers in the 80s won 5 in 9 years, and the difference with the Lakers and the Bulls is the Lakers had to beat the Celtics twice, the 76ers twice, and the Pistons once in the finals, and all of those teams did win championships. The teams that the Bulls beat winning 6 in 8 years, None of them won championships other than their first championship against the Lakers, but that Lakers team was not a championship caliber team. I thought the league was just, I wouldn't call it poor, but it wasn't as deep as it is now. You know, the 90s,
one of the reasons why those teams didn't win championships was because they lost to the Bulls. You know, like, yeah.
But they had won even before or after.
No, I mean, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it is a good conversation. It's just that don't forget that in the 90s, there were no foreign players really like there are now.
No, of course not. But that's the thing. I try to not, I don't know, I guess not nitpick too much because, again, it's winning is tough regardless, no matter what, you know, whatever situation you're in. But anyway, so. I don't even know how we got off on this. We just started talking about
championships. I have to nitpick. That's my role.
Is that your middle name, right? John Nitpick.
Yes, I'm an old guy.
Oh, man. Now I've lost my train of thought. What I was going to say was, or what I was going to transition to was, Chris Paul is obviously, as expected, uh-huh. going to be out tonight. So, I don't think the Suns are going to win. This team's done. Like maybe Kevin Durant can just go off and you know, kind of like James Harden a couple nights ago, 45, 50 points, just kind of have his moment there. But the reality of it is I think the Suns team is unfortunately going to fall quite short of what I was starting to expect, what could have been potential long playoff run based on what we saw in the regular season with Durant in the mix. So you give the Suns any chance tonight or no?
Well, they'll be at home, so the crowd will be behind them. And like you said, Kevin Durant, add in Devin Booker, those two guys can combine for 75 points on any given night and do it pretty efficiently. The problem is now you've got to make up the 32 minutes, which Chris Paul was averaging in this series. Where do you find that from? Especially from a team that's not deep to begin with. So now you're going to have Cameron Payne out there, point guard. He's basically your best bench player. Now he's in the starting lineup. You know, this could be a game where Phoenix takes control, builds the lead, and then by the time we get to the late third, early fourth quarter, they're just gapped because everybody's playing every minute of the game at that point. Denver, which is a deeper team, can kind of just whittle away and end up taking it home. I do give them a puncher's chance because Durant and Devin Booker are that good. You know, they can kind of will their team to victory, but I can't see them coming back and winning this series. Denver's been, you can make a case, the most impressive team in the postseason so far. They're 6-1. Their one loss was a close one at Minnesota. So, you know,
I feel like no one's talking about them. I feel like no one's talking about it. It's the Lakers and Warriors. It's the Celtics, obviously, 76ers, Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler in the Heat. You know, they're getting a lot of play. But no one's talking about the Warriors or the Nuggets. And like you said, I mean, they're arguably been the most impressive going 6-1 so far. It's just, you can't count out, you know, Kevin Durant and, like you said, Devin Booker and whatnot. But, you know, not only where are they going to get those other 32 minutes, but where are they going to, you know, get 75 points between the two of them? Great, but you're not going to win too many games scoring 75 or even, like, 95 points. So where are you going to get that consistent scoring? And not just consistent scoring, but where are you going to create those opportunities? That's the other thing. You're not necessarily losing, you know, a large number of points, but like the offense that Chris Paul creates for other guys, how do you make up for that? And again, I think that's going to be the biggest problem for the Suns. And unfortunately for them, like you said, arguably the best team playing right now is Denver. It's going to be hard enough to do that against any team without one of your better players, let alone arguably the best team in the West.
Yeah, he's your point guard, right? So you run your offense through him, get some easy shots for Durant and Booker. He's out. Cameron Payne's a nice backup, but he's a backup,
yeah,
a bench guy, an energy guy. So this is going to be difficult for Phoenix, who, you know, again, they didn't play together a lot this year with Durant teaming up with Booker and Chris Paul. And the only problem is, you know, the clock is ticking because these guys are old, Paul and Kevin Durant. So they'll be together next year, but they'll be a year older and you got to go through the whole slog at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, again, that's the thing. I mean, this move was made for this year primarily, and you know, we'll see what happens. If you're Phoenix, we'll see what happens moving forward. So speaking of moving forward, I'm just on a segue machine, I guess, right now. But the Bucks have apparently moved forward from Mike Budenholzer firing the coach after having an NBA best record, 58-24 last year, winning a championship in 2021. I guess, John, what do you make of it?
Well, it seems like a thing to do in the NBA, right? A guy wins a championship and he's gone a couple of years later. Yeah. This happened. Nick Nurse got fired 3 years after winning a championship. Frank Vogel didn't last 2 years after winning a championship with the Lakers. And now Mike Budenholzer, 2 years after winning a championship, is ousted in Milwaukee. Not a surprise, though, right? Because they had a great regular season, and then they get to the postseason, and they underperform. Now, Giannis was out for two games and wasn't quite 100% with that, you know, tailbone injury. But he didn't see the adjustments you thought you'd see from Milwaukee. And I've often said, and I think you probably agree, in that these NBA coaches, and even NHL coaches to some degree, they have about a five-year shelf life. Mm-hmm. After 5 years, the superstars stop listening, the message gets stale, and it's time to move on. And we'll see who can replace Mike Budenholzer, who I think will get a job quickly on his own, maybe in Toronto or somewhere else, because he's an accomplished coach. But not a real surprise. But, you know, you look at his resume in Milwaukee, man, I mean, you know, make a case the last 5 years, the Bucks have been the best team in basketball, and they do have a championship in there. But it's what have you done for me lately? And it's time to move on. And maybe Giannis wanted to move on from him. And if Giannis goes into the front office and says so, it's going to get done.
Well, look, I mean, let's face it. If you look at the Bucks' future, it's murky. It's murky. Mm-hmm. They were talking about it this morning on TV. I mean, I was reading the captions because I didn't have the volume on. But they had obviously brought up the fact that the Bucks were sold earlier this season. You have role players that are entering their 30s. Giannis has a contract that's eventually going to be up or needs to be addressed soon. There's not a necessarily a clear path to getting back to being the top franchise in the East. You know what I mean? Like, so there is a little bit of a, you know, like I said, a little bit of a murky outlook heading forward. And correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe I'm completely misremembering this, but didn't Giannis talk about early retirement at one point? Am I completely making that up? Or I know if it was said, you would know if it was said or not.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he did. You know, sometimes the comments kind of run together with all the different superstars. But, you know, again, his style of play is so physical that, you know, maybe he's not going to be playing at 38 years old, and he's approaching 30, and he probably has one more huge contract left in him, and, you know, he'll make a ton of money, and he seems to be a very charitable guy. But that wouldn't surprise me. You know, it also wouldn't surprise me if he decides to go to the Lakers, like every superstar in the league pretty much ever always does. Like, that's like in the back of everyone's mind that Giannis is going to play out his contract, which I believe has two or three more years left, and then go to the Lakers, you know, build his brand. But yeah, nothing would surprise me, because he's kind of a unique guy anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just kind of did a quick Google search because, well, that's the power of technology these days. He had mentioned prior to, or in 2020, that he weighed an early retirement. And
Wow.
That is, you know, maybe he was being a little bit dramatic in the interview. I think it was done this past April. But Giannis does seem like a guy that could maybe be one of those guys that has the short career. You know what I mean? It's not like, and this is not me saying anything negative about his commitment to basketball. I think he loves the sport. He's an incredible player. But some guys just only want to play for a little bit, and maybe winning that championship was enough to satisfy his, you know, big goals. I mean, he's an MVP, you know what I mean? So, like, he's accomplished a lot. So, I don't know, again, maybe that's the thing. I don't want to put too much stock in it, because it was just a comment that he made, obviously, obviously earlier this year. But, you know, this was what he was thinking just a couple years ago. Again, this is around COVID time too, so you know what I mean? Maybe, you know, maybe there was a you know, different mindset, so to speak, when it comes to how, you know, he was approaching things or what he was thinking at the time. But, you know, at the end of the day, this Bucks team has a lot of hurdles or a lot of uncertainty moving forward. And, you know, you brought up Nick Nurse. You know, he's been brought up as a name that's a possibility for the Bucks. I don't know if, you know, maybe Ime Udoka is regretting taking that Houston job right now, because I don't know. I mean, even with kind of the questions with the Bucks, assuming Giannis is going to be there, I'd much rather take that Milwaukee job.
Oh yeah, I'm sure Ime is probably having some second thoughts about going to Houston. The only thing with him that was kind of interesting is I get the feeling that maybe not the first offer he got, but the first solid offer he got that he was going to take, because obviously his situation is so unique. We know he interviewed for the Brooklyn job earlier in the season, and they decided to go with Jacques Vaughn instead. He had talked to some other organizations, and they didn't bring him in for a second or third interview. So maybe he just felt that there weren't a lot of options for him, and he wanted to get back in the game because he's still a young guy and an accomplished coach in just 1 year with the Celtics. So probably figured, okay, let me take the Houston job. Maybe he's thinking if Houston can win the draft lottery and they can get Big Vic, the first overall pick, that's going to be the guy that carries you for the next 8 to 10 years. But yeah, the Milwaukee job is going to be intriguing because you have the guy who I think is the best player in basketball. But like you said, Ian, the future is a little bit weird in Milwaukee because your second best player is going to be a free agent in Chris Middleton, and he's dealt with knee injuries the last few years. And
30 years old. He
was a wonderful player. Yeah, they're both older guys, you know, so. And Brook Lopez is old, and you know they've got an old team there. You know, Bobby Portis, and you know, it's not a real young team, and it seems to be a team that maybe isn't flexible enough or versatile enough at times, because you know the way they play defense, and they're more of a physical plotting team at times. So yeah, it's still a great job because of Giannis and a good fan base there, but they've got some questions that they've got to answer, especially with Middleton and Drew Holiday, Middleton being a potential free agent and dealing with those knee injuries and the fact that those guys are just, you know, now on the other side of 30.
Yeah. Yeah. No, a lot of questions up in Milwaukee, not just in the NBA, but in the NFL as well. So, but we're not going to talk about that situation in the NFL. Before we go, though, I saw it was interesting, a rumor, I guess. I don't want to call it a report. I hate how people kind of conflate the two. A report is physical sources, that sort of thing. A rumor is speculation, thought, whatever. But speculation, rumor, there's a possibility that Tom Brady will or doesn't want to follow through with his upcoming Fox deal that gets started at the end of 2024, I believe, which is, you know, 10 years, $375 million. The reasoning, obviously, is the potential heavy travel schedule and everything like that, which would kind of defeat the purpose of retirement. I mean, at this point, if you're going to commit to that much work, yeah, you're right. You're right, Joel. Greg Olson is just praying that Tom decides to walk away so he can go back to being number one. But I mean, at this point, Tom, if you're listening, I know you are, obviously, if you're going to commit that much time, you might as well commit it to playing as opposed to talking about football. I'm just saying, John. There was no indications in the rumor that this was anything to do with him deciding to come back and play. I mean, like I said, this deal doesn't start until, well, technically two football seasons away if it's the end of 2024. So yeah, I think it's intriguing. And if he doesn't want to commit the time, like, he's not going to commit himself, he's not going to half-ass it, so to speak. So I think if he does decide that that's not what he's going to do, then yeah, he has no problem walking away. Now, again, if you're Fox, you're hoping that, well, the greatest quarterback of all time decides he wants to be the face of your NFL coverage for the next decade. Well, you're hoping that's the case. But the reality of it is Tom's not tied down by anything because the contract hasn't started. And here I am, once again, John, hoping with a 0.00001% that maybe he'll say, you know what, I want to go back and play again.
Would it be this year? I mean, because we're into May. Would it be this year, or is he going to sit out a year and come back at 47?
Yeah.
Which would be next year. I mean, man, that'd be like Gordie Howe, right? Didn't Gordie Howe do that at some point? Like sit out a year and then go to the WHA? I mean, that would be asking
so
a lot.
I'm going to go play for in the XFL?
No, he's gonna play in the NHL.
Yeah, yeah. He'll
conquer another sport, right? You know, here comes Tom Brady down the left wing. He'd be a center, wouldn't he? I mean,
I can't imagine that he, you know, maybe a goalie. I mean,
he's got the personality, right? Like the competitiveness.
Well, I mean, and again, I mean, he used to be a catcher in baseball, so I don't want to say similarities, but there are positioning similarities. I obviously will always hope until the day I die that he comes back and plays. I don't care if he's 47, 57, 67. It doesn't matter. I mean, well, maybe I'm getting a little ridiculous there, but the point is that there's potential that he's not going to follow through on the media deal, which would be a little disappointing because I'm intrigued to see it. Like, look, if I can't see the guy play, it would be fun to obviously get to continue to see him involved with the NFL, sort of like maybe he can be like a third man in with the Manning cast. You know, every so often he just hangs out with the Manning bros. I mean, I feel like they're all friends at this point. I, you know, they've all beaten up each other enough that, you know, they can kind of sit back and laugh at it. And we know, obviously, Tom and Peyton are very close. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him in that role. I mean, Joel says, Tom could go back to the Expos. Well, you know, who knows? Maybe the Expos come back and Tom fulfills that draft, you know, pick they used on him way back in the day. But, yeah, do I really think he's coming back? No. But I'm intrigued. And I am intrigued what he ultimately is going to decide about his future broadcasting career. So,
I know that was one of the parts of the discussion is the travel. Like, so you get on a plane on a Friday and fly into a city and then leave right after the game on Sunday. I'm assuming these are private jets that would be taking him from point A to point B. He's not going to be going on connecting flights and waiting in line at a TSA. Line, you know, I'm hoping so. I always push back. Like, I think he kind of travels a lot anyway, doesn't he? I mean, he's got a son in New York, so
yeah.
I'm assuming Miami to New York is a pretty consistent trip for Brady. So, if there's more travel than when you're playing, though, because you don't have any home games, you're, you know, going wherever the
well, and look, I mean, I certainly was never a travel once a week type of person, but there was a stretch where I was, you know, on a plane every few weeks. And it's tiring. It can get exhausting. Sure. So I get it. I certainly understand, especially if you're doing it every week and it's the same thing. Like every week you're away from home every week. So like I said, Tom, you might as well come back and play football. If that's the case. I mean, again, I'm sure, look, well, I don't know about the 49ers cause they seem to be getting in their own way, but it's like, I'm pretty sure the 49ers might be open. You know, if you said, hey, you know, looking for a quarterback, there's still some teams out there that could maybe dip their toes in it. I mean, Raiders are probably out of the question because they've already committed to Jimmy G. But then again, you never know. Maybe he's waiting to see what happens with Mac Jones this year, John.
See, now, come back here.
Yeah,
how
yeah.
How about this one?
What?
Let's how about hear this one? You'd like this one. There's a conspiracy theory because we know how competitive he is. Rodgers doesn't play well with the Jets, kind of has an off year, and Brady goes, okay, I'll show you how it's done. And he comes back in 2024 and wins the Super Bowl with the Jets.
Well, here's the thing, John. You assume that I would like that. That's about the only scenario I wouldn't like, because to see him in that green would make me vomit something green. I mean, it just would not – that's not something I want to see. I wouldn't mind seeing him, though, in Packers green and saying, hey, Aaron – you couldn't do this for a very long time. I'm going to step in. Now, look, they've committed to Jordan Love. Jordan Love got a contract, all that stuff. This is obviously me wetting my conspiracy theory, you know, my need for a conspiracy theory here. Look, I mean, again, the reality of him coming back and playing football, especially at this point, is very slim. Maybe entertain that idea next year. And I'm not going to put that past him. I know it makes it a little bit more difficult. To envision a guy taking a year off at 46, but hey, you know, You never know. You never know what might happen. So we'll monitor that, though, John. I'll keep in touch with my sources. I'll try to find out. You know, and by sources I mean my incessant letters to the Brady residents that never get answered. with that said, though, I think it's a good time for us to say goodbye and say have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy. Well, Mother's Day is not this weekend. Next weekend, folks. Mother's Day. Don't forget that. Never want to forget that. Enjoy your partying if you're going to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. I'm going to watch Celtics basketball tonight, John. That's what I do because I'm in my 30s. I don't party anymore, and I kind of have a pretty quiet nightlife, as I'm sure you do as well. So we kind of just sit back and watch TV.
Yeah, that's all we can do.
Yeah, hey, it's enjoyable. Celtics going to take 2-1 series lead tonight. So, all right, that's it. That's going to do it for us here today. We will be back on Monday, obviously. Actually, maybe not. Maybe we'll be back on Tuesday. I got to check my schedule. I think I might have something going on Monday. So don't hold your breath. We'll let you know. So thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.